welcome, everybody. It's time for another episode of the Pedego Podcast as we ride along in the e-bike revolution with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, we got a little bit of both here. We got somebody, another reporter who's been reporting on this strange movement that has emerged around America where people are moving again, getting on electric bikes. We've got Dwayne Diker with us. Welcome, sir.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
And you're in a unique position because you're not just one of the love stories of those riding along. You're actually chronicling this on your own podcast. You do a podcast called what?
Yeah, we have a podcast called Electric Bike Radio. My partner and I, Jared Krukar, we love podcasting and we love electric bikes, and we managed to put the two together.
I love the idea of telling stories. So let's tell your story here. Let's start with how you got on an electric bike. Because in your real gig, in your day job, you have a full-time law practice and you specialize in appellate law. I'm not even sure I know what it is. What is appellate law?
So appellate lawyers handle cases, you know, after the trial. In a trial, somebody wins, somebody loses.
Right.
And then chances are the person who lost wants to appeal. So I handle the cases, you know, from that point to the appellate court.
And you do have another podcast, a law-related one. You Can't Stop Podcasting, called Issues on Appeal. Is that correct?
Right. For about 3 years, I've been doing a law-related podcast. It's a very narrow, intentionally a really narrow audience.
Yeah.
It's for Florida appellate lawyers. And you know, there's not a lot of us, but I'm pretty sure almost all of them listen. So that's
yeah,
pretty
exactly
cool.
Right. I think that's what podcasting is. It's these niche conversations. It's narrow casting. Everybody wants it to be broadcasting, get the world to watch. But I think that's the promise and potential of podcasting and the internet, to find these little communities and talk to them, talk with them, right? So you're talking you're talking with a group of people that I have been chronicling now for a while here on the Pedego Podcast that I knew very little about before I started this, and that is these electric bike riders. What do we call them? Are they just bike riders? Do we have to call them electric bike riders? Or is there something different about that crowd?
You know, it is a little bit different crowd. And I think they are e-bikers or e-bike riders. Or we certainly in the podcast talk about the e-bike riding community.
Yeah.
Because I think it is a little bit different. It's an overlap and everybody in the traditional biking community is welcome.
Right.
But it is a little bit different group.
And I'll tell you what I've seen. You tell me if you've seen the same thing here. You are an electric bike enthusiast. You started a podcast about this enthusiasm, this electric bike radio. I think there's something different about this crowd in that a lot of them are older. A lot of them haven't been on a bike in a long time. We had William Shatner on our show, for Pete's sake. He's 90, and he said, I haven't been on a bike in a million years, but I love the little electric assist, as he famously funny says it, you know, I just get a little, and there we go. You know, I get a little zip and all of a sudden I'm off and running here. And I think that is part of it. It's getting people back on bikes who thought that day had long since passed. Is that part of it?
I think that definitely is part of it. I don't think that's all of it, of course, but
right.
that's part of what got me into this is that my wife had a heart attack. Very serious, you know, condition. And we used to bike a lot before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I was looking for a way to get her back on a bike, and she really didn't have the confidence that she would, you know, be able to do it. She has some reduced heart function now, and you know, she's 50 years old.
Yeah,
but
right.
She just didn't have the confidence to go out.
You make it sound like that's old. I wish I could see 50 again here.
No, it's not old. That's my point. You know, it's unusually young to have a heart attack and to be, you know, worried about whether you can ride a bike around your neighborhood or not, you know? And so that was part of what I've always been into bikes, and I'd always had this sort of passing interest in e-bikes and curiosity about them. But the idea that I could use an e-bike to get my wife back on the road so that we could ride together was really what was the catalyst that really got me into the store.
Had a lot of people like that. We had somebody on a while ago here who had a terrible car accident. Multiple surgeries later, couldn't even sit up in the car, much less imagine driving or going anywhere in a car. And for her, bike riding was the answer. It got her out, got her active, it got her going again. But it took a lot of fear to get over and a lot of pain to work through. And the electric bike really was the vehicle for her that got her out and active again. And now she rides long rides, miraculous things, courtesy of an electric bike of all things.
Yeah, it gives them the confidence because they know that they can pedal as much as they want to pedal. They can get some exercise. They can, you know, do the kind of things that you need for rehab, maybe for some people. But when you get tired or you get to the point where you think, I'm just not having a great day, I can't do this anymore, you know you have some help to get you back.
And you're not, another guest on our show said, you're not limited in the same way. He said that I used to ride a bike all the time, but I avoided all the obstacles. I didn't go over there because there's a hill over there. I didn't go too far because I knew I couldn't come back. Now an electric bike allows me to be a little more adventuresome. Let's see what's over that hill. Let's go a little further. Is that part of it too? It's taking people further out into the space and place and not just, yes, we all want to ride a bike. We want to be outdoors. We want to get some exercise. But, and you can still do that. But maybe I can go a little further.
Yeah, it takes some of the, you know, some of the difficult parts of cycling away. I mean, everybody's having fun when you're, you know, on flat land and you've just headed out and you're
or going down the hill.
Right. But sometimes coming back, you know, you never want to turn around because you're having so much fun. But on a regular bike, when you realize you're too far away and you have to come back, sometimes that can not be fun. And electric bike, you know, flattens those hills on the way back and makes it so much easier. Whether you're, you know, whether you're in good shape or not, everybody has their limits, and an electric bike helps you exceed those limits.
So how about the acceptance or unacceptance I see of electric bikes in the bike community? That's not really riding. That's cheating. I'm not selling those silly things. You know, this isn't a real bike. There seems to be almost a snobbishness, not among everybody, but the really hardcore biking community. Have they embraced electric bikes, or are they still turning their nose up at them?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think we're there yet. Jared and I just talked about this. So we had a whole podcast episode where we talked about some of these things. And, you know, I think that certain types of bikers, like, and I don't want to pick on them because I've been a road biker at times in my life, but people who are riding road bikes and they're wearing spandex, I didn't do that. But
the whole gear, I see them all the time. They're on a 100-mile ride. Yeah.
And a lot of their identity is wrapped up in the fact that they're going out on the weekend and riding 40 miles or 50 miles or whatever. And I guess to them, when they see us out there, you know, having fun and keeping up with them and riding alongside them, it feels like cheating to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are no rules, right? We're just out there having fun. We're not racing anybody. We're not competing. We're not trying to say we're the best or the fastest. So you can't be cheating if you're not in the game, right?
And why is it cheat to get more people playing? Well, you know, if I could find a way to get more people playing baseball, would that be cheating? Because I made the ball a little bigger, or I made the bat a little fatter, or I made it a little easier to play. It might not be for the hardcore enthusiast. It might not be the same. But isn't that the name of the game, to get everybody into this?
Definitely. And the more people we get out riding bikes and using the multi-use trails and using the bike trails, the more of them there will be. The more people we have on bikes, no matter what kind of bikes they are, the better it is for all of us.
The more lanes they're going to build, the more the cities will invest in this stuff, and the more people will start to see this as an alternative form of transportation. Talk about that. Here's a couple other things that I've seen. You're the reporter on the scene. You've been doing this a while here. I think in a weird way it's changing, at least in cities, big cities, maybe not in the rural areas, but maybe it changing transportation. I've seen this. I think there's a bigger story taking place in America anyway, this personal transportation from skateboards to scooters to e-bikes to everything in between. We're suddenly looking at more than cars and trucks to carry us around here. And I think bikes are part of that personal connection I can get out there. And I'll give you a weird example, then I'll let you jump in. We did a story with a dealer down in Tucson, of all places. And I kiddingly said, well, this is cowboy country. You're not selling bikes down there. They said, not only are we selling them, we're selling them to cowboys. They're riding the ranch. They're riding the range in their e-bike rather than a horse because they can go farther and go faster and get places they couldn't go with the horse. Is this part of it, too? Is this part of this changed transportation world that we live in?
I think so. And I think, like you say, I think it depends on what area of the country you're in. Where I live in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, we are doing a pretty good job of, you know, doing the rails to trails sort of thing and converting a lot of the abandoned railway right-of-ways into bike trails. You can almost, we're not quite there, but you can almost circumnavigate Pinellas County on a, you know, 50-mile or so trail that connects up and makes a loop, or it will soon. And we're doing a better job of bike lanes and that kind of thing. And I think e-bikes make that possible. my co-host Jared, he commutes to work on a bike. See, and I don't think that he would do that on a regular bike, because you don't want to get to work sweaty and, you know, all that sort of thing. But right. he regularly commutes in downtown Tampa, and it's great for him. And I think it sets a great example for people to, you know, get out of the cars and get on the bikes.
So you started riding. Part of it was your wife had this horrible heart attack, and you wanted to get her back out and help her and ride with her and share things with her. What made you want to share this story and start Electric Bike Radio?
You know, it really started as a love of podcasting. I started my other podcast first. That felt a little bit like work just because of the topics. And I wanted to do podcasts where I could have some more fun, take some more risks. And I'm like, what could we talk about? It was right about the time that I was getting into the e-bikes. I got my wife a bike. We got a bike. And it seemed like a natural fit. We started talking to people, meeting people, becoming a part of this community. We're like, this is very cool. Yeah. We want to be a part of this, and we want to help grow it.
How was it received? Are people really looking forward to tuning in? Because this is amazing, this show. People are just picking it up like crazy here all over the place. I think we've tapped into something. There is a growing community. They all want to connect with one another and share stories, hear stories. Like we're all sitting around one virtual campfire or something here.
I think there definitely is a market. And the show gets, you know, sort of more downloads and more popular each week. And I feel like we're sort of on the brink of really taking off, because there's not much out there when you look into the podcast directories. There's not a lot, and there's very few that are brand agnostic, you know, that are just sort of talking about e-biking generally.
Yeah,
so a lot of them are very niche, like you were talking about before, like how do I soup up my bike, or you know,
right,
particular types of bikes.
And clearly this show is brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. Pedego is principally focusing on Pedego dealers, because there's an amazing group of them. These second act entrepreneurs are opening bike shops and how. And then the customers that they're coming across. That's our niche that we're finding those stories. But it really is a generic story about the e-bike revolution. There's something happening out here, not just companies like Pedego, but this movement to open an e-bike store and to get out and start riding again. Those are stories that I don't think enough people are hearing about, but it's happening all over the country.
Yeah, and I had such a great experience with the local Pedego dealer. And we bought our bikes at the Pedego dealer in Dunedin, Florida, which is right here in the Tampa Bay area. And we just sort of went in because there weren't a lot of places that you could look at and ride an e-bike.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Ordering it over the internet.
Yeah, right. And that's really, that was what struck me when I met Pedego. Is that not only are they one of the leaders in this thing and getting people up riding bikes again, everything, but that they're doing it with independent dealers, dedicated dealers. And that gives you a whole different passionate force out there. And then this idea that don't just sell them the bike, let them try the bike, let them rent the bike even, or try it and see if this is for them. And then afterwards, it's like Jeep riders and stuff and Harley riders, they form these communities, help them come together and go on rides. It isn't just selling them a washer and next, you know.
I feel that sense of community at the Pedego dealer. Like, I mean, they do treat you, you know, sounds sort of like an advertising campaign, but they do treat you like family. You
know, really do.
We had an issue with my wife's bike soon after we picked it up, and they literally came to the house, picked it up, left me a loaner bike, and fixed it and brought it back. Wow. I mean, it's like you can't get service like that anymore today.
Well, again, because I think a lot of these people are like you. They discovered electric bikes, and then they said, hey, this is fun. Maybe I can make a business out of this. And many of them are in that second act career. They've been a banker, an airline pilot. We've had professional golfer. It's amazing the people that get into this. They aren't people that have been in the bike business. This is something they're doing after their main career. And it's largely for fun. I mean, they're going to make money at it, and I understand it, but they're looking for something that's passionate and cool to do at this point in their life. And they're looking for, I think, that friends and family and community connection. At least that's what I'm hearing.
I think so. They're following their passion as opposed to just looking for what's the next money-making opportunity,
exactly.
Right? They're doing something that they believe in and they enjoy, and a product that they enjoy selling, and that's very cool.
That they ride themselves. Well, all right, so give us some stories. We got about 5 minutes left here. Give us some, I understand you went to recently and rented an RV in Vegas. and toured yes. all the national parks in Utah. There's a bunch of them in Utah.
Yeah, there's five in Utah. So we flew to Vegas. We rented an RV, and I had made arrangements in advance with the Pedego dealer in Summerlin, mm-hmm. which is just outside of Las Vegas.
Had them on here recently. Yeah,
they rented us two bikes and were nice enough to arrange for a rack for us for the back of the RV. And we took off for Utah. You know what? It was a great experience because the national parks, for the most part, are very bike friendly. And also, you know, very e-bike friendly. And some of the parks, it was absolutely the best way to see them was on an e-bike.
And you say that, and yet I would never even think of going to a national park with any kind of bike. I'm there. When I go to Yellowstone, I go in, I drive through the path. You know, we're looking out both sides of the window. We're snatching some shots, and then we drive out. You know, it's kind of a drive-through experience. But I suspect that when you get on a bike, you really see it and feel it and experience it in a different way. Is that true?
Yeah, and I will tell you as an example, Zion National Park.
Right. Beautiful.
In Utah.
Been there. Yeah.
Beautiful. They have several e-bike outfitters right outside the park.
Really?
And they are really pushing the e-bikes, and it's the best way to see the park because your alternative if you don't have a bike is you park your car and you get on a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
You wait in line. You get on a shuttle bus, and especially in COVID now, being crammed on a shuttle bus might not be the best experience.
Right.
And you ride a bus, you get off, you wait for, you know, you do what you're going to do, wait in line, get up back on the bus. The park roads were closed to everything but shuttle buses and bicycles.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
So,
yeah, more and more parks are doing that, not just because of COVID, but because of overcrowding. I know there are other, like, I don't think you can ride. I went to the Grand Canyon a million years ago. I don't think you can just drive up to the Grand Canyon anymore.
Right. That's right. And we were in Grand Canyon. We did hit Grand Canyon too, which of course is in Arizona, but the sort of loop, the golden circle that you do takes you through Utah and back through the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon park is just crisscrossed with bike trails. I mean, it's very, very, very bike friendly. So it was a great experience. So many thanks to the folks in Summerlin who arranged that for us. And sort of went out of their way to make sure that we could do it. But it was fantastic, and I wouldn't hesitate to do it again.
Does it feel different when you see or experience these parks with the wind in your face and the outdoor all around you as opposed to looking through the windshield and trying to take pictures?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were there in October, and the weather was, well, it was gorgeous until it wasn't.
Yeah, right. Well,
it turned a little bit cold, but... Yeah, you know, you see so much more. We saw, I think, a lot of wildlife that we might not have seen if we were just blowing by in a car or in a shuttle bus. It's definitely, it's the way to experience it. And a regular bike would be fine, too. But I will tell you, out there, at least, a lot of the parks are pretty hilly. So
yeah, it's a lot to cover. So I can't imagine you'd see as much unless you were really a good biker and you could
do
the whole thing. I think it's an interesting idea. I would never think of experiencing a national park on an e-bike, and you're not the first one to tell me that. So maybe that's a whole nother way. It's another, and I'll give you one last thought, and then we'll wrap up the show here. There's something about e-bikes that I didn't see in regular bikes, and that is when I did ride a regular bike years ago, and I had my period in my 30s and stuff. I thought this was great exercise until I kind of pushed it too far and pulled a muscle and started to hurt, and I thought, maybe this isn't for me anymore here. I did it alone. Now, I know there are I see bikers out, you know, on long rides with the gear and the spandex. I get that there is a bike community that does it, but by and large, when I rode a bike, and most people I know to bike, certainly stationary bikes or other kinds of, or even a regular bike, I did it alone. It was an exercise thing. I went out, rode my bike, and then came home, sort of like running. I went out, ran, came home. Something about e-bikes seems to be more of a pack, more of a group activity, more of a social thing. Let's all do the ride along. William Shatner says he rides with 10, 12, 14 people in his family when they go out. It's a group activity. It's not a solo activity. Is that something you're seeing?
That is definitely my experience. And part of that, I think, is, you know, it's sort of the mindset that traditional bikes are about exercise. And so you're going out to work out. And so you're going to go ride as far and as fast as you can. And it's very hard to find a riding partner who necessarily has the same abilities that you do.
That's right. That can keep up with me or that I can't keep up with them. Right. Yeah.
When you're riding an e-bike, I think people are more of in the mindset of, this is an adventure. This is what we're doing on a Saturday afternoon. and it equalizes. The e-bike is a great equalizer that everybody yeah. can keep up and everybody can ride together.
Which means grandma can come along and with the kids and other people, because we're all, the kids are going to ride at one speed and I'm going to ride at another speed. But together we can all achieve the same speed because they're doing it with pedal power. I'm doing a little assist here along the way.
That's right. It makes it, it gives everybody a chance to, you know, do the same thing, have the same fun, and to do it together.
So when you first picked up an e-bike, did you know that not only would you get hooked on this thing, any e-bike, but that it would become such a passion that you'd have to tell the world about it through a podcast?
No, I would say, no, that snuck up on me a little bit. I do think the first time I rode an e-bike, I thought, yeah, I need to have one of these, you know, because I'm yeah. a little technically oriented. I like the high-tech stuff.
And, I got to get one
of
these.
I always like bikes, yeah. right? And so, but, you know, the realizing that you're a part of this community and that there's so much going on. We spend most every Saturday night now with a group here called Let's Glow Riding. And we go out at sunset and we ride for a couple hours with 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 people with their bikes lit up and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's become like a Saturday night tradition for us. When the weather's right and we have nothing else going on, we go for a bike ride.
Kind of reminds me of Harley riders here, all these aging baby boomers that on the weekend got to be born to be wild and everybody gets on their bike and goes somewhere.
Weekend
here.
Warriors, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for sharing what you did. Give us again the podcast and how they can hear your show. We certainly want to encourage others to tune in to it because you're telling some of the same stories we're telling and a lot of the ones we probably haven't even thought of yet here. So how do they find your podcast?
Sure. It's Electric Bike Radio. We do have a website, electricbikeradio.com, but you can find us in just about anywhere you listen to podcasts.
So anywhere fine Apple podcasts are found, yeah.
Any podcast index you can find us on, whether it's, you know, iHeartRadio or Stitcher or any of those, just look for us on Electric Bike Radio.
And if we do have a few people who want to hear about your role, you're even an adjunct professor, they tell me, at St. Petersburg College, where you teach law-related classes. You're really into the law. You got a full-time law practice. If anybody wants to learn more about any of that or your law issues on appeal, how do they find all that stuff?
Sure. You can always contact me, depending on what you want to talk about. The best email address probably is Duane, D-U-A-N-E, at Diker, D-A-I-K-E-R.net. And that's just sort of my general email. Or look for us. All the shows have social media, Facebook pages, Twitter accounts. We're pretty easy to find.
We're easy to track. Okay. And your partner in crime in this, I shouldn't say crime in a legal show here, is Jared, how do you pronounce his last name? Kruger?
Krukar.
Krukar.
Jared Krukar. Yeah, Jared is also a lawyer. Jared works for the court here locally. And so that's how we met. We met through the practice of law. And he came on the Issues on Appeal podcast a number of times and did a great job, you know, had a good good radio voice, good radio personality.
Good radio voice,
he,
yes.
Right. He got drafted for the e-bike radio and rides an e-bike. He actually has ridden an e-bike longer than I have. So
there you go.
He was the perfect foil. And he's a little bit more mechanical. He's a little bit more a wrench turner than I am. So yeah.
That's not me. I'm not that guy. Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe you'll have us on your show or have Carly or one of the people from Pedego on your show, because we'd love to. I think we've all got to support each other. This is a story that's bigger than one brand. It's bigger than one place. It is a national movement. People are riding again, and they're riding e-bikes for all the reasons we talked about. Thank you, Duane, for joining us here today.
Thanks so much.
Okay, folks. Well, there you have it. One more reason why you got to tune in and ride along on the Pedego podcast as we explore the e-bike revolution. Talk to the entrepreneurs behind this movement, including the other podcasters, and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you as always by Pedego Electric Bikes. For more information, you know where to go. Pedego.com. That's P-E-D-E-G-O. Pedego.